you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 11 is where we will be tonight. David Stanley will be sharing with us from God's Word. Month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm very thankful for the pastors that I get to serve beside, but I'm also thankful that God is continuing to call out pastors and teachers of His Word, and it's a blessing to be able to work with these men as they study God's Word and get to cut their teeth preaching here in the pulpit. And I'm thankful again for a church who allows them to do that as we dive into Colossians. But in Colossians chapter 3, what we're going to see today is, after talking a long discourse about the centrality of Christ, the question now remains is this: what does that mean for us now? How do we live? How do we go? How do we serve? What does that look like if Christ is central? And so David will begin diving into that today in chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. I'm excited for David to be able to preach to us tonight. For if you don't know, David has been called to a chaplain program, and we will be ordaining him as a church on the 17th, Friday, November 17th, during our Jubilee celebration. And so I hope you'll be able to be here and to support him and his family. One of the things I always tell them in our class is, when you preach, do not look at your wife. And his wife is sitting front and center. And that was very rude of her to do that to him. Because our wives just shake their head no the whole time. No. It's frustrating. But it's the cross we bear as pastors, I guess. Let's pray for David. And then David, you come and share with us God's word. All right, brother? God, I'm very thankful tonight for David. I'm thankful, God, that I know that he's been studying your word. He's been diving into this passage. And God, I know that he's prepared. And so I just pray that you would be with him now. God, we do not want to hear from David. We want to hear from you. And so speak for him. Help him with words. Help him with transitions. All those things, God, calm his nerves. Help him to speak very freely and guide him and lead him by the direction of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear from you tonight. God, we thank you. We praise you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. Seems the mic is working, so that's good. All right, so this is my first time preaching ever, all right? So for those of you that are new, sorry. But I'm excited to be here. It is an honor to have this privilege. It really is. And I want to thank you as a church, and thank the pastors as well for that. Like you said, Colossians 3, 1 through 11, right? So I'm going to start off, we'll just read through it, and then say a quick prayer. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for your word, allowing us to dive into it. And as I've been praying since the moment I knew of this, please allow me to glorify you. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So we'll start with the first section, Life in Christ, verses 1 through 4. And in the beginning, we have a transition here. If then, you were raised with Christ. So what this is, of course, we have an affirmation here that Paul is speaking to Christians. So when we look back into chapter 2, where we're coming from, transitioning from, we, in chapter 2, verse 12, we see the burial and the raising as our spiritual baptism, where we are buried, dead with him in baptism, in which we were also raised with him through faith, right? And then we have in verses 20 to 23, where it shows us that therefore if you died, he is again affirming that he's speaking to Christians, and with Christ, then you are free from these earthly things and they have no value. So again, he's calling us out as Christians. He is saying, if then you were raised with Christ, or in some translations, since you were raised with Christ. He's calling us, and he's telling us to seek those things which are above. And in some translations, I like it better, set your heart on things above. And then right after that, set your mind on things above. So we need to focus not only our heart, but our mind. To be totally focused on something, you have to set your heart and your mind on it. And it's often easy for us to get where we don't have one or the other. And one good example that comes to mind with that is a young Christian who goes off to college. This is a great example. Pastor Tim uses a lot with this, but where he's bombarded with professors that are supposedly super smart, that have great degrees and stuff, and they're messing with the knowledge. Their heart may be in the right place, but their mind isn't as focused. So we have to be able to keep our mind and heart together, having that knowledge. When we have our heart and our mind focused on something, it gives us the proper attitude. It gives us the right intent for what we're doing when we're serving God. And intent matters. Pastor Roy mentioned it this morning, actually, that intent matters to what we're doing. He was talking about Paul and how his intentions were always to serve and to glorify God, to always present the gospel. And I look at Paul, actually, as a good example with where people can perceive something that's good as bad when it's not, because the intent is the right in the manner, where he uses different approaches for different people. And some people can look at the way he approaches talking to the Jews when he's just told us at the end of chapter 2 that we are free from these legalistic things. We're free from certain rituals that the Jews would do. But at the same time, you would see him go and participate. Why? Because he was preaching to the Jews and he was connecting with them, right? His goal is to present the gospel. His intent is in that way, and intent matters. When we look at the opposite way with something that's bad, that could be that we might perceive it as good because we look at things and we're not looking at the right intent. If someone, obviously we think reading the Bible, as Christians, we think reading the Bible is a good thing. But if my goal in reading the Bible is purposely set to manipulate the word and to use it against you and to know it better than you so that I can use it against you, then that's not the right intent. And that's why we need to keep our mind and our heart focused on serving Christ. There is actually, when we look at having the right attitude and having intent, another focus on a worldly view though, but when we look at our criminal justice system and we look at crimes, intent is actually a factor in many crimes, right? So especially when it comes to capital crimes, where if you actually have intent to do something, it is a greater punishment. So intent matters, again, right? Having the right attitude to where we're going, setting our heart and our minds on Christ. Another example, it came from Sunday school we were talking about recently, where you have a selfish child. A selfish child comes to you and demanding something immediately, especially as a parent, I'm going to want to correct them. I'm going to be like, not with that attitude, you're not getting anything, right? And so if we don't have the right attitude, we're not going to get where we want to be. We're not going to become closer to Christ, right? So Paul is setting us straight here. and we need to be totally focused on Christ. Verse 3, we see where, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And in the MacArthur Study Bible, there are a threefold meaning to that. And I'd like to just tell you, read it from there, because I think he did a good job with it. First, focusing on the with Christ in God, as far as how our life is hidden with him. We have a common spiritual life with the Father and the Son. Secondly, the world cannot understand the full import of the believer's new life. So there's a hidden meaning in there. Then, third, and my favorite, believers are eternally secure, protected from all spiritual enemies, and with access to all God's blessings. So there we are hidden in a shielded, protected way. And this is safety, and this is great. So that's where our life should be. As a Christian, that is where our life is, if you've given your life to Christ. And then in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Here we're talking about the second coming of Christ. And Christ, who is our life. You see, he did all the work for us. If we look back in chapter 1, in verses 12 through 14 of Colossians, we will see that not only did he qualify us, he delivered us, but he redeemed us. He did all the work, and yet we get to appear with him in glory. So why are we, as a world, worried? Why are we worrying about what the world wants? And when we as Christians have this promise of living with him, he has conquered sin, and we get to appear with him in glory. Romans 6:4 says that we should walk in a newness of life. 1 John 3:2 tells us that in the second coming, we shall be like him. This is a glorious promise for our life in Christ. As we move on to verses 5 through the first part of 9, we start talking about the putting off, or putting to death of our flesh. So, and starting in 5, therefore put to death your members which are on this earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Now I want to read a couple parallel passages out of Ephesians. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling our desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. To take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So as we talk about putting to death the flesh, we study these parallel passages to give us a better understanding. And when I look at the main purpose of the epistles that Paul wrote, especially in the prison, and how parallel these are with each other, I look at the main purpose as to straighten us out, to straighten out the church, right? To fix problems with the church. And not necessarily, and sometimes that we're knotted up or crooked type thing, but that I feel like more recently even we're scattered as a church. We're not working together. We're not unified as a church. And we need to come together as a church. We need to come together as the entire body of Christ and set our hearts and minds focused on things above. Christ, as we learn in chapter 2, is the head of the church, right? We talked about that. That's where we need to be focused. That's who we need to let control us. So we need to put off our old selves. When you talk about putting off that old self or putting to death the flesh, we often actually put it on, right? We will clothe ourselves with sin and our old self because, to be honest, we go forth and we're often ashamed. We're ashamed. And I say this to myself as much as to anyone. But we go forth ashamed of who we are. We go to work and we want to fit in. So we put on our old sin. We put on our old self and we try to pretend. We try to fit in, right? We go back to what we think is comfortable. The thing is, God isn't calling you to be a weirdo or something strange, to be embarrassed out there. He is calling you to stand out and be his light. Jesus died on the cross so that we could put to death our old selves. He took that debt that we owed and nailed it to the cross. Just like Pastor Roy said this morning, just like chapter 2 tells us that we learned about last week, if you were here. If you look back, he nailed it to the cross. There is no reason for us to hang on to it. See, we died to our old selves, died to our sin. That doesn't mean we're not going to have that daily struggle. We must fight. And that daily struggle is still there for us, but our past is not there to hold us back. Guilt is a tool of the devil. We are not supposed to let our past hang on to us and let us be held down by it. We're not supposed to be putting it on every day either, like I know I do many times. We are supposed to remember that Christ died for it, and that we are alive in him. And with that, we move on to the latter part of verse 9, to the end of 11, where we are putting on our new self. Since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. This new person that we have become, who has given their life to Christ, lives in Christ, and needs to be put into death the flesh daily. And with that, we will grow and be fruitful. And in chapter 1 of Colossians, in verse 9 through 10, Paul tells us that he prays for us. He prays for us to be filled with knowledge, right? And just here, as we see in verse 10, renewed in knowledge. This is a spiritual knowledge that comes. This is a strengthening that helps us. This is a strengthening of our mind that helps us keep it set on Christ. This prevents us, as you look in the end of chapter 2 also, from being susceptible to false teaching. And then also at the beginning of chapter 2, where Christ, we find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, so we are not deceived by persuasive words. We must seek out this knowledge. As well as we see here God explaining to us, just as Pastor Matt mentioned this morning also, but we see Paul's message from God here telling us, and this is so important, especially today, just as much as any time in history, that we need to remember that the gospel is for everyone, of every background and every race. we as the church must be united. We need to come together regardless of our differences. Our differences make us strong. A team that can all do one thing great is not a team that's effective across the board. We are the body of Christ. The eye and the ear do completely different things. The heart and the hand, completely different. We need to accept those differences. We need to come together. We need to remember that Christ is all and in all, and we need to start looking more like the image of God. In order to grow closer to God, in order for us to be able to know what we need to be doing, we need to be focusing and increasing our knowledge. We need to be focusing on knowing God, studying God's word, loving God and his people, and serving God. And in this, we are going to be able to rid ourselves of things that are separating us from God. Believe it or not, anything that separates you from God is sin. It's not what God wants for you. We spend too much time arguing over things that we can or cannot do. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul tells us, as a Christian, he says, all things are lawful to him, but not all things are helpful or edify. Just because the Bible says that you cannot, that doesn't say that you cannot do something, doesn't mean it's good. You do not get closer to God by looking for loopholes in the Bible. You do not glorify God by spending time trying to find acceptable means of getting away with stuff. We spend so much time as people trying to argue over what we're allowed to do and not do. When we are free from these legalistic views, we don't need to be focused on that stuff. We need to set our heart and mind on Christ. When we look at it away from ourselves a little bit, we see, I want to say, have you ever been stuck where you're telling someone about their sin instead of turning them toward God? When you're too focused on telling them what's wrong instead of what's right? This is what we do in ourselves all the time. We serve our purpose for glorifying God by setting our hearts and minds on things above. So the big picture here is repentance. I know Pastor Roy mentioned that this morning too. Repentance. Often, and as a kid growing up, always the definition of repentance. What is the definition of repentance? We'd hear, to turn away from sin. That's what I always heard. Well, I had it explained to me once in a different way, which I liked a lot. And simply, there is only one way to turn away from sin, and that is to turn toward God. If I spend all my time focusing on what not to do, don't do that, don't do that. I'm giving too much power to that sin. I'm spending all this time on that sin when I need to be focused on Christ. I need to be setting my heart and mind on Christ. And I've learned that is where I need to go when I'm struggling, that I need to turn back to Christ. And that is the only way to do this, through that type of repentance, as is described here by Paul for us. So, the other things fall away. The other things get out of the way of themselves. When you know you're doing what God wants you to do and you're focused on his will, those other things are going to get out of their way. You're going to realize that this thing that I used to argue about, I don't even want to do it anymore. That's where we need to be. And also, if you have not had this life-changing moment where you know what repentance is, where you have given your life to Christ, and you are confident that your life is hidden with Christ and protected, and you've been able to put on this new man that God intends for you, then I urge you to please choose today for that. Please talk to me or one of the other pastors or anyone. We would love to talk to you about it. Thank you very much.
You know, one of the things that I think is very important for us as we preach or as we teach God's word is that we have a very good balance of law and gospel. And that's what I'm always trying to tell those who I'm teaching about teaching, is there are some dangers when we start to lean one way or the other. When we start to teach grace all the time, we start to have people who feel they can sin and keep on sinning because grace is there. And there's a truth to that. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. But when we start to lean the other way, and we start to teach law all the time, as David was mentioning, do this and don't do that, and focus on this, and do this and you can be better. And if you strive to do this, what we start to produce is people who are going to be so guilt-ridden their whole life that they're never going to be able to overcome the chains that are in their life because they simply cannot overcome them. Only grace can overcome them. And so one of the challenges as a teacher or a pastor is to walk that line of grace and gospel and to do it well. And what we see in chapter 3 of what David talked about today, we see Paul walking that line. If Christ is all and in all, if Christ is who you find your hope and your satisfaction and your peace and your salvation in, if Christ has saved you by his grace, then there is a certain way that you will live. Then there are things that you will be doing, and there are things that you will not be doing. Not to earn his favor, not to earn his love, not to earn his grace, because he'd already poured his grace out on you, but to serve him faithfully, to honor him. And that is when we will become unified, as David was talking about. It'll only happen when we have that balance in our life of grace and law and putting them in the correct order and serving God with the heart that we're supposed to have. No verse should jump out to you like verse 10 and 11 of what David read. And have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That is what needs to define us as the body of Christ. As we serve together, as we do the things that we are called to do in this community and even beyond, our rallying cry needs to be, Christ is all and in all. Apart from Christ, you would be that horrible, horrific person that you're so angry at. But because of Christ, we can stand saved and we can serve him. David, thank you for bringing God's word to us tonight. Let's bow together. Let's pray together. I hope that you'll encourage these guys as they continue to preach. They would love to get feedback from you, I know. But I hope that you're encouraging them and praying for them as well. Let's bow together and let's pray. God, I thank you for the truth of your word. God, I'm thankful today that, yeah, you call us to these things. You tell us to put away anger and wrath and malice, and you tell us to put away the evil passions of our heart. But God, I'm thankful that that can be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, too many times we try to do that on our own, and God, we cannot do that. But God, through your grace and through your mercy, you have given us the ability to be able to overcome those things in our life. But God, we do have to be intentional in that. We do need to be disciplined. We do need to be focused. And so God, help us to do that in our personal lives as we walk with you, as we live in this world with other people. God, help us to be very intentional in serving, in loving, in being that light in a dark world. God, help us to always remember that apart from your grace, we are just a sinner, bound and broken. God, give us a compassion for a lost world. God, give us a compassion for our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, to lift them up, to encourage them, to speak to them truth and hope and mercy and grace into their life. God, we pray that you would use us as you see fit. Help us to go where you call us to go. Help us to do what you call us to do. But God, help us to never do it to try to earn your favor, but instead to honor you and to glorify you and to worship you. And God, of course, we do pray, God, that we would see results. God, we pray that we would see even our walk with you growing closer to you. God, I pray for everybody here as they're sharing the gospel with family members, with coworkers, with friends. God, I pray that they would see battles won and victories just taken for your sake. God, lives being changed by the power of the gospel. God, we want to be a part of that. We want to see that happening. God, not for us, not for our glory, but for your glory. God, so help us in our walk with you to be faithful to that. God, as we leave this place, help us to be very intentional in the things we do. Help us not to get lazy in our walk with you, but to boldly go forward and to fight that good fight that you've called us to. Personally, fighting the flesh, but God, also to fight against Satan and those enemies out there that we face each and every day. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your love. Be with us now as we leave, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.